Well, if you were here last Sunday, and as I said, I wasn't, but if you were here last Sunday, you would have heard from Will speaking on the first part of our focus on a closer look at the book of Colossians, and that's what we're focusing on over this this term ahead. As I said, I wasn't here, but I did listen to the podcast of it, and that's just another opportunity for me to say that the message is a podcast week by week, and in fact, our podcasts are re-podcasts this morning. As happens once a month, we are broadcasting on radio across southeast Melbourne, the southeast Melbourne community station, and we do get feedback from that, and an indicator of whether it's just one person listening or more. And it's amazing to me that that hundreds and thousands of people tune in to that on a Sunday morning. So the podcast is an opportunity. If you're not here on a Sunday, you can listen to listen to the message on the podcast, and of course our Sunday evening service is always another opportunity to come and share together as well. But I want to thank Will. He's not here this morning, of course. He'll be here tonight. But I want to thank Will for setting the scene for what's to come this term. And as I listened to that podcast, Will did that well. And I want to affirm him and just say that was a great setting of the scene for what's to come in this book of Colossians. But on our way back from holidaying by the Murray, where we were for much of our time, we decided to take a detour to look at some silo art. Now, I know some of you have made trips to all over the place to see that silo art. But this is, we hadn't seen any of it before. Here's a snapshot of it, these huge silos and paintings on those silos, paintings like I'd never seen before, paintings of the it was incredible to get a bigger and broader perspective on how something could be painted than I'd ever seen before. I'd seen big paintings in art galleries, but nothing like these art silos, and that was just one of them side by side, just out of Alf and Merle's old territory there in Benalla, but I believe they're spread all around different places. Ron and Rona, you've been travelling to see them, and they just in Victoria or beyond, or South Australia as well. So. Yeah, but as I said, it captures a bigger and a broader perspective, these massive silos, and to think, wow, a painting beyond the size of what you would normally see a painting. That is what Paul gives us through the book of Colossians. Paul gives us a bigger and a broader perspective on the church. He gives us a bigger and broader perspective on Jesus. He gives us a bigger and broader perspective on life as a follower of Jesus. And this morning, and we'll work our way through Colossians chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And this morning, as I pick up, Will did the first eight verses and an overall lead-in last week. But this morning, as I pick up on those verses that Dorothy read to us a few moments ago, they are a bigger and broader perspective that Paul gives us on prayer. Now, I can't speak for you, but what I do know about myself at least is that I often need a bigger and broader perspective when it comes to prayer. Often my perspective in prayer is limited by my own lenses that I'm seeing things through, or by my own experiences. But what we discover here in Colossians is a prayer focus that is bigger and broader than most of ours, that involves praying that God's people would be what? This is what Paul shows us and what we're going to look at this morning. That God's people would be filled with all knowledge. That God's people would be honouring with all of their God honouring with all of their lives. And that God's people would be strengthened with all power. Let's look at each of those in a closer way. The first thing we see is there in verse 9 that a bigger picture or a broader focus in prayer involved praying to be filled with all knowledge. Verse 9, Paul says,
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives.
I mentioned in a sermon some time ago, I don't know whether it was this year or last year, about how our family didn't have a real good track record when it came to trivia competitions. Well, you guessed it, while we were away, there was a trivia night on the very place and the very time and the very night where we were. We were out eating at this place and suddenly here's this trivia night we became aware of. And I got coaxed into us being a part of this trivia night again. We thought we'd give it another go. Well, you guessed it. We didn't do much better in our knowledge when it came to all these random questions. We were at the back of the field. And after each round, they read out where everybody was at. We weren't coming last. We were at the back of the field. We were close to last. Until we came to the bonus round, while all the amounts were being tallied up. And the bonus round was on music tracks. Roma and Michelle saved the day. And we even won that bonus round. And we got a prize for it. Although the we is stretching it. Because I can't claim any of them. But what sort of knowledge, when we think of trivia and knowledge, what sort of knowledge is Paul praying for here though? It isn't trivial knowledge. It isn't information knowledge. It isn't intellectual knowledge, which is what some who had become a part of the church at Colossae were emphasizing. But it's what I would describe as spiritually insightful knowledge. Spiritually insightful knowledge for living life God's way. Paul expresses it like this. He expresses it to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. All the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. I don't have that naturally, spiritual wisdom and understanding. None of us do. It's something that only comes from God, as we read here, that the Spirit gives. And how does it come from God? Only as we get to know God more. Knowledge, and spiritual knowledge, only comes as we get to know God more. Knowing God is not a task to do, but it's a relationship to grow in. And as we looked at last term, we grow in that through the kind of things that we looked at in our series last term, the stepping stones towards spiritual growth. But the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs chapter 9, describes it like this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. How can we be spiritually wise? It's to have a sense of the fear of the Lord, a healthy understanding of who God is and what God is like and his character, and have an awe of God, and to come to know the Holy One is understanding. Bigger picture praying involves praying to be filled with what? With knowledge. What sort of knowledge? Spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that what? What's the purpose of that? Well, it's here in this verse 9 of Colossians, as we read it there, so to fill you with the knowledge of his will, so that we will know God's will. That's what I need. That's what you need. That's what we need together as God's people. Ultimately, every day, every week, in all the decisions that we make together, in everything that we are and do, to know God's will. And again, if we go back to the book of Proverbs as a book of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." Why not lean on our own understanding? Because it's not reliable. We need to trust God instead. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Our own perspectives and our own wills are skewed. That's a part of our human nature. And they can't be relied upon. And that's why we need to pray, as Paul does here in Colossians, to know God's will. That we would discover God's will and then that we would do God's will.
as the Lord's Prayer says in Matthew chapter 6, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will be done, not your will be done, but God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is an important part of prayer. That is an important part of what we should be praying for God's will, for us to discover God's will and do God's will, as Paul makes clear here. So praying not only firstly to be filled with all knowledge, but secondly to be God-honouring with all of my life. Now in my role as a chaplain at the local footy club, one of the things that demonstrates or that shows that I'm a part of that club, that I'm a part of the off-field team there, is the uniform that I wear. Now, it's not anything fancy. It's just a simple polo shirt with club colours and club logo and even club sponsors on it. But I put that shirt on whenever I go there. And I wear it occasionally at other times too. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we wear the colours of being a follower of Jesus, not just when we come to church on a Sunday and occasionally at other times. But no, we wear the colours of being a follower of Jesus at all times. We wear the colours of being a follower of Jesus during the week, at home, at work, in all of life. And that's why we call many of our small groups meeting during the week life groups. Because faith is not just a Sunday thing. Faith is a in the midst of life during the week thing. And Paul's bigger and broader picture of prayer here reflects this. As we move into verse 10, what does he pray for? He says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. What sort of life is he praying for God's people to live? It's a life that is worthy of the Lord. And he talks about that pleasing him in every way. Now, for the people that Paul wrote to at Colossae, to whom he was first writing this, living a life that brought honour to the family name was very important to them. It was very important in Bible times, so they understood that. And so Paul is using people's understanding of that to say, bringing honour to the family of God too. Not just your human family name, but the family of God through your life is very important. You are reflecting and you are representing God wherever you are, whatever you say, however you live your life. What a wonderful thing it is to be a part of the family of God. But how we all need to pray too, that we would live lives that are worthy of the Lord. So that what? So that, as Paul says here, as we continue reading through verse 10, that we would please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Paul is saying, my prayer for you as God's people is that you would not just be followers of Jesus, but you would be faithful and fruitful followers of Jesus in times when it's far from easy to be faithful or fruitful. That was true to the church at Colossae when Paul first wrote these words, and it's still true today. That we would be faithful and fruitful, not just when we're amongst God's people, but faithful and fruitful when we are doing life during the week, on the front line, fruitfulness on the front line, as we looked at in a series on that a year or two back. A bigger and broader focus of prayer, that we would be filled with all knowledge, that we would be God-honouring with all of life. And thirdly, as we read on here, that we would be strengthened with all power. Verse 11, Paul goes on to say, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might. Now, as we think of life, a long life's path, we can face challenges. We all face many and varied challenges and circumstances that we find ourselves in. We can all face many and varied trials and temptations. And Paul himself, when he wrote these very words, was far from the place he would have chosen to be at. He was in prison for his faith. And because of that, he knew that he needed strengthening in the midst of the life challenges and circumstances and temptations and trials that he found himself in. And he knew that the rest of God's people needed that too. That's why he's praying for it. You won't be in prison for your faith like Paul was, but you will still need strengthening. in the midst of your particular circumstances and challenges and trials and temptations? What kind of power does Paul pray that we would be strengthened with? As we read on into verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That's incredible when we think about this. All power according to God's glorious might. God's glorious might and power is amazing in creation, in changing people's lives and situations. And here we read that that same power according to God's glorious might can also strengthen us in the midst of the very challenges and circumstances and trials and temptations that we face. So that what? What's the purpose of that? As we read on through verse 11, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks. Let's unpack each of those. So that you may have great endurance. This exact time, a year ago, I was drawing to the end of the Melbourne Marathon. It's a year today. The Melbourne Marathon has been run again today, this morning. Glad I did it last year and not this year. Conditions are a bit warmer this morning. But this exact time last year, I was drawing on, I needed great endurance. But we all need that as we live life as a follower of Jesus. Because when the going is tough in life, when the going is tough in faith, when it's not easy to live as a follower of Jesus, what do we need? We need strengthening with God's power so that we may have endurance to carry on. And Paul here is saying that that's what we need to be asking for. That's what we need to be praying for in our prayers. Yes, it's important to pray for other things, to pray for people, to pray for our situations, but we need to pray for God's power to strengthen us in the midst of what we face, that we may have great endurance to carry on. But not only that, Paul says, great patience, that you may have great endurance and patience. Wow, I need patience. I need more patience when I think about it. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. We all need it. And we don't get more patience from ourselves. We get it from God. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't come instantly. It's not a case of, Lord, give me patience, but please hurry. Patience is a gradual work. Patience is a work of God's Spirit, slowly but surely. But our prayers need to, like Paul, pray for God's strengthening of us to develop not only endurance, but also patience. But what else does he say? Joyful, thankful, giving joyful thanks, joyful thankfulness. When life's not easy, when faith's not easy, being joyfully thankful isn't easy either. That's why we need to pray for it. That's why we need to pray for God to strengthen us with all power in it. When life's not easy, or faith's not easy, or whatever it is isn't easy, it's easy to focus on the negatives and what's not as we'd like. Yet as followers of Jesus, being joyfully thankful is important. Only God's power can strengthen me, can strengthen you, can strengthen us in that. A bigger, broader perspective of prayer that are captured just in these few verses that we've looked at this morning. And just as Paul prayed with those bigger, broader picture focuses for God's people at Colossae, I want to pray those same things for you and for me, for us as God's people here, out of what we've glimpsed from God's word today. And as a part of, we're going to frame our pastoral prayer time now, out of that, out of using this as a framework for our prayers. And so I invite you to join me now as we come to a time of prayer. Let's pray together.